So, Hare Krishna, I'm glad to be back from the UK to Radhadesh. Today's topic is Varna and Education, our topical class. It is very much related to what we did in Radha in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and Lester, we were exploring possibilities for placement for students as teachers in the Krishna Bhanti schools, which are developing. There are good prospects. Still, we are in the research process in that the Krishna Bhanti school, and Rasa Mandala Prabhu is also involved in that as a liaison between the college and the school, are looking now to start a teacher training program at the school as part of the UK government program for qualifying teachers, primary and secondary school teachers. The discussion is going to be broader. This is just because it's very much related. I'm mentioning it as good news. The school is at the level of being classified as excellent. They have different classifications. So it's going to be classified, looks like, as a top-level school, which will qualify them to offer this teacher training program. Unless a school is recognized as such, according to the UK system, will not be allowed to offer such courses. We will have to look then for another possibility, other options to qualify teachers. So for us it's very good that our graduates potentially can go to the program we are setting up together with the Krishna Bhanti School. So we are going to start by reading from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter number 2, text 13. Will be an introduction to the topic of Varna, and then we will discuss the principle of education and how it relates to it. What is the meaning of Varna? What will you say? What is Varna? Occupation? Occupation according to the psychophysical nature, good. So it's the occupation, but that occupation we develop it according to our nature, and on the basis of that nature, our qualification to develop such a work. Okay, we'll just read it. Ata pumbir dvija shrestha varna shrama vibhagashah svanustitasya dharmasya samsidir karito shanam. Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Purport. And please pay attention to the purport. It Srila Prabhupada uses the term castes, the caste system. And actually the caste system has a pejorative connotation. Normally, when people hear about caste, what do you feel like when you hear caste? How do you feel about it? Okay, being constrained, okay. Looking down on those of a lower caste. What else? Perverted the caste system. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada explains in his books how it is actually a deterioration of the original Varna system, Varna Ashram system. However, Srila Prabhupada here is using the term caste in the purport. Obviously, he's not referring to the degenerated system, but is referring to the original Varna system. Human society all over the world is divided into four castes and four orders of life. The four castes are the intelligent caste, the martial caste, the productive caste, and the laborer caste. These castes are classified in terms of one's work and qualification and not by birth. So Srila Prabhupada is establishing clearly it is about the qualification of the people and not about an artificial imposition made by the higher groups of society over those who are less qualified in terms of being able to lead society. Then again, there are four orders of life, namely the student life, the householder's life, the retired, and the devotional life. In the best interest of human society, there must be such divisions of life. Otherwise, no social institution can grow in a healthy state. And in each and every one of the above mentioned divisions of life, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. This institutional function of human society is known as the system of Varna Ashram Dharma, which is quite natural for the civilized life. The Varna Ashram institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another. When the aim of life, that is, realization of the absolute truth, is missed by too much attachment for indriya priti or sense gratification, as already discussed herein before, the institution of the Varna Ashrama is utilized by selfish men to pose an artificial predominance over the weaker section. In the Kali Yuga, or in the age of quarrel, this artificial predominance is already current. But the saner section of the people know it well that the divisions of caste and orders of life are meant for a smooth social intercourse and high thinking, self-realization, and not for any other purpose. Herein, the statement of Bhagavatam is that the highest aim of life, or the highest perfection of the institution of the Varna Ashrama Dharma, is to cooperate jointly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada here explains two main purposes of Varnashram Dharma. We could say actually three. What are the three main purposes of Varnashram Dharma explained by Srila Prabhupada and by Sutta Goswami, who is speaking the verse we read in what we just heard? Good, to satisfy Vishnu and attain the goal of life, which is self-realization, understanding our spiritual nature as eternal servants of Krishna. Good. One. Two more. To facilitate, yes, to create a smooth social intercourse or cooperation among the different groups of work according to the specialization of each person or each group. Good. Anything else? One more? To realize the absolute truth, that will be satisfied. It was what it was mentioned, basically. Satisfaction of Hari, understanding the soul and the supreme soul. Any other? Good, yes. To foster cooperation among the different groups and members of society as opposed to exploitation by those who are so better situated, exploiting the others who are less influential. And also we could say it is meant to engage the individual according to his own natural tendency, according to the psychophysical nature of the person. And it should be done according to qualities. I want to read from the seventh canto, just the translations of chapter 11, verses 21 to 24, about what are the qualifications, the natural qualities for each of the four groups of work. In Bhagavad Gita also it is mentioned, Chatur Varnyam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Krishna says that I have created these four groups of work, and I have created them according to Guna and karma. What are their qualities? What are their modes of nature? And how these modes give the person a particular qualification, adhikar, in order to perform a particular type of work. So we cannot separate the work from the qualification. And the qualification is not just external qualification, but it is also about character. What is the inner character of the person which will make him or her capable of performing a particular duty? Narada Muni is speaking this. The symptoms of a brahmana are control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity and penance, cleanliness, satisfaction, forgiveness, simplicity, knowledge, mercy, truthfulness, and complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see the work is not so much emphasized, but the qualities are emphasized. Now the kshatriya, to be influential in battle, unconquerable, patient, challenging, and charitable, to control the bodily necessities, to be forgiving, to be attached to the brahminical nature, and to be always jolly and truthful. These are the symptoms of the kshatriya. Now the vaishya, being always devoted to the demigods, the spiritual master, and the supreme lord, Vishnu, endeavoring for advancement in religious principles, economic development, and sense gratification, dharma, artha, and kama, believing in the words of the spiritual master and scripture, and always endeavoring with expertise in earning money. These are the symptoms of the vaishya. And now the shudra, offering obeisances to the higher sections of society, the brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, being always very clean, being free from duplicity, serving one's master, performing sacrifices without uttering mantras, not stealing, always speaking the truth, and giving all protection to the cows and brahmanas. These are the symptoms of the shudra. And then there are other divisions mentioned elsewhere. People who do not act according to these qualities are considered outside of the Varnashram Dharma system. It means they are not qualified as members of an ethical and religious society, which human society is meant to be. If human society does not follow these qualities described here, is considered a degraded society and therefore more or less an animal society. Even if it appears to be very refined from the external point of view, like for example, if many times people, they have big celebrations, social gatherings with big chandeliers and people very nicely dressed. But then if what it is offered as food or the habits, the customs of the people are not according to Shastra, it is considered actually a degraded form of life, animalistic form of life, even if externally is disguised as a very sophisticated one. So what makes human society human is the qualities of and the qualities and the behavior of the human beings. So this is about Varna. Varna means we need to work in life. We say occupation. We could say varna means a job, having a job, a proper job, a proper occupation according to one's qualification and one's nature. And this sometimes in the modern context, even though people have, well, nowadays there is a high rate of unemployment. Just this weekend there were elections in Spain, where I was born, and the Conservative Party won the elections by vast majority. like absolute majority. And the one of the main reasons why the people have, or those who went for voting, gave elected this this person, Mr. Rajoy, as president, although they don't like him, he's not very popular. Actually, he's not very charismatic in terms of, not very charming character. He's a bit dry type of person. But they elected him because the previous party have, the result of the previous government is more than 4.5 million of people unemployed without suitable engagement to maintain their families. And many people are being have been asked to vacate their homes, they are not able to pay. I saw also in the UK there was a charity agency which was advertising that they could help people who couldn't afford to pay the house. And they were showing pictures of normal people. You could see people with children, like a couple, good-looking couple with two children, and an old person, different types of persons who had been asked to leave the place. And there was, in the advertisement it was mentioned, these people are real people. They were asked to leave the place. And we help them. So all these social problems are there, many times due to unemployment. So therefore, Varna is very important. And devotees, for example, those of you who are studying at the college, and also those of you who don't study at the college, are looking for a suitable engagement by which you can serve Krishna and at the same time maintain your life, yourself, and your family. Or if you are planning a family, you want to have a good means of livelihood to respectably live in society. And this is not new, this is happening since time immemorial. This is the law of nature that we have to work. There is no way around. If you want to live in this world, work is unavoidable. In order to maintain body and soul together, we have to work. Of course, we depend on Krishna and as devotees, and we may say Krishna will provide whatever I need, and that's there. But Krishna will provide through a proper engagement. For example, a Brahmana traditionally receives charity, no salary, just charity from the people. But the Brahmana, in order to get the charity, will have to offer a service to society. It is not that the Brahmana is sitting there doing nothing, but the Brahmana should be studying a scripture and teaching what the scriptures say to people, and teaching different people how to develop their potential, their qualification. For example, Dronacharya, the guru of the Pandavas, was a Brahmana. And he was teaching them, and also the Kurus, martial arts, military sciences, political science, he was a Brahmana, he was teaching. He was receiving charity from those princes. He was maintained by the government. He was receiving dakshin, certainly. And in exchange, he was offering a service to them. So this is the natural system. And nowadays, it is manifest in a different way, more, it's a modernized expression of these divisions, but they exist in certain way, even if in a totally degraded way, without religious principles, without moral principles. For example, the Vaishyas are meant to Krishigo Rakshya, to protect cows. And nowadays there is no Vaishya. The farmers, they kill the cows. They kidnap from the mother, the calf from the mother, making the cows suffering in an extreme way, and then they kill. When the cow doesn't give milk anymore, they exploit the cow first, taking her milk, and when the cow doesn't give milk anymore, they kill the cow. And many times they kill the calf in order to sell it for meat. So it is a very cruel, very degraded system. It is not anymore Vaishya. In that sense, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there is no Varna Ashram system in present society. He talks about a systematic system, a systematic process, and systematic way of Varna division. So the modern society is divided, it's unsystematic in that the duties and the qualities are not there in most of the cases. Only the external capacities are there, but not the underlying necessary values in order to create, to establish peace within society. And that's a big problem. Unless there are high values in society, it is impossible that there will be peace. When I was in Leicester this weekend, I was told that Jayadvaita Maharaj was there recently, 2 months ago, and devotees arranged a program with different... It was the period when in the UK there were riots. I forgot what was the cause, but for some social problem, there were riots. Some people were breaking into the shops, stealing. There were fights. Some people were killed also. The big social disturbance. I think the police also killed one person, and then this created more riots. So there were many representatives from different social backgrounds, social and religious backgrounds. And Jayadvaita Maharaj, as the Swami, was asked to lead the discussion. And then he spoke, Pradyumna Prabhu told me what Maharaj spoke, quoting Srila Prabhupada in Science of Self-Realization, speaking to a chief of police, and saying that actually there is no material solution. There cannot be peace unless there is God consciousness. There is no material solution. And the conclusion at the end of the discussion, the one person who was there kind of asking a facilitator, then asked Maharaj, okay, let's summarize. Let's ask the Swami What is the conclusion? We have talked so much. What is the final conclusion? And he said, Maharaj concluded that actually there is no solution. As you are acting without God consciousness, there is no solution. By material arrangements, it is not possible to find peace. Only by God consciousness. And there was one black fellow, one person from a black background, and he said, in a good sense, I don't mean to undermine, it's good, Krishna is black, we don't have a problem with black, we like black. Here is white, but he's black. So he said, he openly started saying, yes, the Swami is right, he's talking the truth, these people are cheating us, he's really telling the truth. He got it. So there is no material solution. Only when there are high values, there can be peace within society. And even then, it's difficult in the material world. So now the question is, how does this relate to education? How does Varna relate to education? Any thoughts on that? How does Varna relate to education? Something you have read, some guesses, something you have heard? Very good. So when the educators do not teach the goal of life, when education is incomplete or not real education. Real education means God-centered education, high-value-centered education. When that does not take place, then people cannot develop their duties properly in society. Good. Any other thoughts? Okay, you say the kshatriyas are supposed to see that everybody is properly engaged according to their nature, but how it is organized? You said it should be organized. How it is organized? Actually, in school, the teachers are meant to help the student to identify their particular varna. That's the role of the teacher. The teacher should help the person to see what is that person suited for. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains it should be a combined effort by the teachers, the parents, and the senior members of the community. Those who know the person, who work with the person, should identify what is this person suited for, or help the person identify. Another quote by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita: by honest judgment, this could be because sometimes we may see, I don't know what is my mission in life, in terms of work. Isn't it? Some of you sometimes may feel like that. I don't know what I am about. What is my duty in life? What career path should I pursue? So he says, by honest judgment, a person can determine the work and lifestyle most suitable to himself. And if he cannot do so, he should consult a competent authority. So first thing is honest judgment. And then if I'm not sure, then I should consult with others. Nowadays, even if we feel sure, it's good to consult. Because sometimes we have the tendency to not be objective with ourselves. This is typical in the age of Kali. So it's always good to consult. But basically it means a person is able to, with honest judgment, may be able to determine what is his or her natural inclination in terms of service, in terms of work. That should be feasible, should be possible. So education is very much directly related to Varna, because education is the process by which the person is introduced into his particular Varna in a natural way. One definition of education, this is from Wiki, although it's too quick, too fast. But okay, there are references. I didn't get into detail and do a full research on that. But it's a good definition. That's why I took it. Education, in its broadest general sense, is the means through which the aims and habits of a group of people lives on from one generation to the next. Generally, it occurs through any experience that has a formative effect on the way one thinks, feels, or acts. In its narrow technical sense, education is the formal process by which society deliberately transmits its accumulated knowledge, skills, customs, and values from one generation to the other. For example, instruction in schools. So education is the process of transferring knowledge and experience to the younger members of societies. And this is how do we learn our occupation? We learn from those who are more experienced. That is teachers, parents, and more experienced members of society. And this is the process. From teachers we learn in a formal way. And from parents and other community members and other fellow, also peers, we learn in an informal way. And both are necessary. Both are important. So now the question will be, perhaps a question you can reflect for a minute now individually. Do you know what is your natural occupation? Reflect. What is your natural occupation in life? In terms of work. Just reflect. Did you discover it? Are you clear about what career path you want to pursue, you feel naturally inclined to do? You don't have to share your own personal in detail, but you can maybe share some thoughts or reflections based on the answer to my question. A any thoughts, any reflections? Okay, so astrology has been helpful to you to identify your occupation, very good. That can be used. You can see what planets give you power in a particular area of work or certain qualities, and naturally you can use that and see if that matches with your intuition or your natural inclination, then okay, it's a way of confirming it. It's good. Okay, good. Okay, that's a good point. So by looking what do I admire, or you say envy, but okay, I mean, you mean envy in a healthy way, you said, so it's what do I admire in others, and okay, in Kali Yuga, a little envious of this guy, why he's doing so good, I would like to do like he's doing. So, okay, that can give us a hint. That's a good point, that maybe something that helps us to identify what we feel naturally inclined to do or to develop. It's true, sometimes something when we don't feel inclined, we may appreciate. Like, for example, I'm not inclined to art. I do appreciate when I see someone doing good art, I'm impressed, and I open my mouth in amazement how they are able to do that, but I don't dream of doing it. It's not my natural tendency to do it. Yes? What you feel naturally inclined to do.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that can be an indication. Of course, depends how you, some people, depends how free time is used, but okay, that can be an indication. Sometimes free time may be wasted sometimes, so it needs to be qualified, but it's a good point that something we like to do when we have time and we naturally go and do that, so that means that's an indication. But can be also, free time can be misused also. Okay, so by examining how you feel about your work, right? That's what you mean? If you are doing something and you don't feel good, you don't feel happy to do that, then it means something is not properly situated, not natural. there should be that you like what you do in a natural way. You feel happy doing that. Not that you are thinking again another day to do that. Like when you see, for example, Pandu Vijay Prabhu cutting the grass, he's happy. You can see he likes it. You can see he's having a good time doing that, or driving. He's happy doing that. That's his natural inclination. So you say to consult with them, consult with gurus, authorities. So by discussing with authorities, with mentors, spiritual master, we may be able to get a clear picture of what is our duty, if we are not sure about it. Regarding Shudra sensitification, although sometimes it is said that they are inclined like that, but actually the best quality of the Shudra is service. This is the quality. They like to serve others, to do physical work. Because sometimes we think the Shudra is like, oh, Shudra, that's Shudra. Like a low class thing. But actually Shudra, I can read it again. Offering obeisances to the higher sections of society, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, being always very clean, being free from duplicity, serving one's master, performing sacrifices without uttering mantras, not stealing, always speaking the truth, and giving all protection to the cows and brahmanas. These are the symptoms of the Shudra. So sometimes we say the Shudra is a degraded fellow, but the good Shudra, real Shudra, it's a person who likes to serve and who will not be able to remain idle. Like, it has to do something. Will say, give me some work, give me some service. Even when they retire, they are 65. Or 70. A good Shudra cannot stop. They have to do something. They go and help in the garden. Some activity which will give them satisfaction that they are being useful people. This is the quality of the Shudra. Not that he goes to the bar and he is like, sometimes we think, it's true that Shudra has the tendency also for sensitification because of the influence of ignorance, but the main quality is service. We should look at there is the high quality and the lower mode. So we should look at each division according to the high mode. But yes, your point is very well taken, that according to what the person is in an extreme circumstance will be the last thing the person will sacrifice, if at all, probably never. That person will die without that quality, will not be able to live peacefully. The Brahmana without being truthful, with a Brahmana without scripture, a Brahmana without a deity to worship, a Brahmana without pupils to teach cannot live. Unlike that, a Kshatriya without a kingdom to rule, without a place where he can develop his natural tendencies, cannot live. The Pandavas, they needed, even if it was only five villages, but they needed a village to where they could express, that will be the field of war, where they will develop their natural tendencies. And a Vaishya without money, a Vaishya needs to have some products, some valuables, some wealth. Otherwise, what type of Vaishya is that? Cannot live without it. And that's why sometimes in times of crisis, people commit suicide when they are in bankrupt. They don't see how we can live like that. I cannot live. And commit suicide. Other comments or questions on this topic? No, in general, on Varna and education. Any points you like to comment on? Yes, Srila Prabhupada said that, but he also talked about developing Varnashram Dharma. And especially when he saw that it was not that easy to find Brahmanas by qualification, he emphasized also the development of the society, the Krishna conscious society as a whole. He even talked about Varnashram colleges. So the idea is that devotees, people, are trained in their different types of work and also in how to live in the different ashramas. And this should be taught in the colleges, Varnashram colleges. So we have now, we are teaching present degrees we are offering are actually linked to the Brahminical. It's the Brahminical subject matter, theology, philosophy, education we are starting. But then we want to develop also business management. And in due course we need also to develop fine arts and many other occupations so that different types of persons can find their places. Either we do it here, everything, or we do it in different parts of the world. But actually, every yatra should develop educational institutions based on Krishna consciousness, God conscious educational institutions, in order to transmit the proper values to the members of society. So we are still in the beginning stages, very much in the beginning, in terms of having, there is so much work to do in terms of developing such institutions. And we need devotees with leadership vision and practical enthusiasm to make it happen. We need many devotees committed in order to make it happen.
Thank you.
Okay, let me see if I got your point. So you say that even though generally it is said that Vaishnava is higher than Brahmana, so in that sense transcendental, having brahminical qualities, as Vaishnavas we should perform all the different duties in order to set up an example to society. Is that your point? Okay, that's true. And Srila Prabhupada did use that argument. We should keep in mind, however, that in most of the cases, our members, we, are not that transcendental as sometimes we say, or we shouldn't make a mistake of thinking we are all Shuddha Sattva Bhaktas, transcendental pure Brahmanas. I'm doing this to teach society, but I'm very, very elevated. It is better to see, okay, what is my psychophysical nature, inclination, which is generally affected by some level of passion and ignorance is there, and we have to deal with that. Even if we are spiritualizing it by engaging ourselves in devotional service, and in that sense, yes, it becomes transcendental, but we shouldn't dream too much that we are prematurely transcendental, because sometimes with Varnashram, that's the problem. We don't have a clear picture many times how to apply it, and it is due to misconceptions. Like in the case of Arjuna, he was a pure devotee. In that sense, he was transcendental. But Krishna told him, you have to fight. You have the nature of a kshatriya. If you don't fight here, you will have to fight somewhere else. That's your nature. You cannot avoid the fight. So we cannot avoid our psychophysical nature. We should work in that which we can develop in a natural way, that which we feel comfortable, which is we can contribute. In that sense, we shouldn't say, I'm doing it to set up an example, which is there also, but especially I'm doing it in order to be properly engaged according to who I am in the present condition of existence. Is that okay? Is that the last point? Okay. You are right, there seems to be that already that influence or that social pressure of birthright was already there at the end of Dwapara Yuga, even before Kali Yuga started. It's one of the characteristics of Kali Yuga that it degenerates even more. There is a book by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, I think it's a compilation of his a speech he gave to defeat the caste Brahmanas. The book is entitled Brahmana and Vaishnava. Anyone has read that book? It's a very good book. It's very, very good. So you find many quotes discussing how birthright was also considered So was one of the, it was considered in society. But then qualification is higher than birthright. But it seems that sometimes birthright was given prominence to qualification, although Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam emphasize the qualities rather than birthright. So yeah, that's there. What this, I cannot add much more. I guess they were doing it wrong. Isn't it? According to what Prabhupada says, we will say they were not doing it properly, because by qualification, karna, he was a kshatriya. And actually by birth, he was a kshatriya. He was the son of Surya. But they didn't know. So he was actually qualified in all respects. But due to some social conditionings, they didn't apply it properly. Okay, we will end here. I brought some Mahaprasad from Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. But I have not big amount, okay, but they are big sweets, so we will divide them. Please come forward, I'll give you a piece. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay.